Welcome to the Arupe Jesuit Podcast, the podcast where we uncover what makes Arupe Jesuit High School such a special place. I'm Father Louis Hotop.
And I'm Meredith Blattner. Arupe Jesuit is Denver's Cristo Rey High School, where students not only receive a great education, but they are also employed as interns by the school's corporate sponsors. Today, we're going to share some stories by talking to Liz Cole, the Director of Philanthropy here at Arupe Jesuit, and Junior Dennis.
But first, St. Ignatius teaches us to begin with gratitude. What's something you're grateful for, Meredith?
Thanks for asking, Louis. I am recently grateful for the opportunity to build community. I am the varsity women's soccer coach here at Arupe, and we're about halfway through our season, and I've slowly started to see the team chemistry and communities start to really build and come to fruition. So it's really exciting to see the fruits of everyone's hard work start to come together.
And you were quite the soccer star yourself, right?
Yes, that's very kind of you.
Yeah, you were.
Yes, I played soccer growing up and played club soccer at SLU, St. Louis University, before I graduated and came out and moved to Denver. Yeah.
That's great. I mean, it's great to be able to share that talent and to, I bet being a coach is so fulfilling, mm-hmm. you know, being able to work with them like so many coaches have worked with you in the past.
Right. Yes. I often think about the coaches that have helped me get to where I am today. And so it's very special to be able to reflect on that. And it's also been really nice to be outside this spring because it's been beautiful so far. So that is what I'm recently grateful for. What about you, Louis?
I'm grateful we just finished our board retreat for the Board of Trustees here at Arupe, and I got to be a part of that experience and give three talks and celebrate Mass. So it was a nice way to get all those people that really help our community in the background to bring them together for a spiritual experience.
Yeah, what an interesting and special opportunity to step outside of the normal board meetings and bring them together in a spiritual way.
Exactly. And, you know, I was really struck by people's ability to share. We had talks and then we had time just for sharing as a large group, and people were really open. So I appreciated that.
That's awesome. And it just happens that our guests today were also really open. And so looking forward for our listeners to hear about it. Hi, Liz. Thank you so much for joining us today on the podcast.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
So for the listeners, Liz is the Director of Philanthropy here at Arupe Jesuit, and we brought her on to learn more about her story and how she got here and what she does at the school. So can you start by just telling us like how you got to Arupe, a little bit about your story?
Sure. Yeah. So I have actually been a fan and a friend of Arupe for almost a decade. While I've only been serving as the Director of Philanthropy for 3 years, my previous role was at ACE Scholarships, which is another nonprofit here in town that provides partial tuition scholarships to low-income students. And our largest partner school when I was working at ACE was Arupe. So I just got to know the team. I got to know the school. Before I even got hired here, I was giving tours by myself. So I knew the kids. And during COVID, I was approached by the previous director of philanthropy, Kim Smith, who she just asked me to go out for a cup of coffee. It was COVID. I'm like, why are you asking me to go to coffee? That's weird. And she sat me down and was like, hey, like, I know this might sound weird, but I'm moving to Bozeman, Montana. And I can't work at Arupe in this role. So I really want someone who I trust to take over relationships with donors, and I feel like you'd be the right fit. And then she's like, oh, by the way, sorry, are you interested in searching for a new career? I'm like, I didn't know at the time, but it was kind of one of those things when an opportunity arises, you kind of have to take advantage of it. So that's kind of the journey of how I got here. And like I said, I've been here for 3 years, so it's been a journey.
And in this role, you know, I think there's an interesting tension where as director of philanthropy, you have to be the face often of Arupe and advertising Arupe in its best light, while also being aware of the difficulties and challenges within the institution, not just financially, but in other aspects of the school. So just wonder if you could speak to that challenge, speak to that tension.
Yeah, good question. I feel like a lot of times in this role, I do sit in the middle of a lot of things, right? I sit as the conduit between the donor and the student, the donor and the school itself. You know, we often talk about how we do have to be really good at telling the student story, the faculty story to donors, because the reality is our donors likely will never have children that came here or grandchildren that will come here. So they don't always get to see the ins and outs of what's going on campus. So that is kind of the best part of my job, is that I get to show off our kids and I get to show off our story and talk about all these amazing things. But you're right, on the back end, I also know how much more there is that we need to be doing. You know, oftentimes we'll be approached by the athletic department, by different faculty members, by, you know, student life about opportunities that we want to be able to give our kids. And they're all great. And but the reality is there's a budget that we have to hit. And our school is great, but we are very lean and mean about how we allocate dollars. And so, you know, we have to say no to a lot of opportunities that I think would be good for our kids. So part of my job is to weigh that, right? What do I know is the true need on the back end versus what I know donors are interested in paying for, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so I'm sure donors come in wanting to support specific things or departments. Do you have any stories specifically that relates to what you just touched on?
Do I have two, if you will honor me that time.
Oh, yeah.
So the first was a couple years ago. It actually stemmed from, she's now I think a sophomore or junior in college, but one of our young gals came to Mark Anderson, our maintenance director, and said, "Mister, I know this might sound weird, but why is there no tampons in the girls' restrooms? Oh. I don't understand." And he was like, "Oh, God." And then he was like, "But good question, right?"
Right.
And so Mark sends me this very kind email copying our young student and said, "Hey, this was brought to my attention." He did his homework and looked at how much it was going to cost. Wasn't in the maintenance budget, right? These are things that I look at on a day-to-day basis. People may think like, oh, philanthropy, you just get to fundraise for student tuition and things. No, no, it's everything. Mm-hmm. It's the lights, it's the maintenance, it's the cleaning, it's mm-hmm. everything. And so he sent me this email, was like, "Hey, here's how much it's going to cost." We were right at the end of the fiscal year. We had no extra money to be allocating in certain areas. And so I knew I was going to need to go to a donor if we wanted that. And that's one of those things I'm talking about. That is something that we needed to really do. That was brought up, one, by a student. We take in our student voices here. Mm-hmm. And two, yeah, it's 2022, whatever it was. Yeah, we should probably have that in the bathrooms for the girls. So I went to a donor who I'd had a recent conversation with and said, "Hey, listen, it's her and her sister that run a family foundation," and said, "We have this student who brought up this need. It's going to cost like $6,000 to get all of the things and all the bathrooms and then the supplies for a couple years." And she said, "Listen, we're going to pay for this in perpetuity. You just let us know how much you need. That's what we're doing." And wow, so that's one of those funny ones, if
that's
you will.
Great. It's a little funny, but it's also so real.
Yeah.
And like so powerful, specifically as like a woman hearing that story, as like watching a young girl advocate for her and her student body.
Mm-hmm.
How awesome.
Yeah, it really was. It was very empowering. And for that donor, you know, she and her sister, they're very supportive of our pastoral program here. They pay for a lot of the retreats that we do for Kairos and everything. And so coming to her in that realm, I was like, oh, this is a little different than the normal conversation
yeah,
we have.
Sure.
But now she and her sister, they're so bought into what we do and who we are. They recently just gave to the Capital campaign as well. So
that's great. And I, imagine if that young woman came to Mr. Anderson and she was just shut down mm-hmm. right then, or he went to you and then it was just shut down. Mm-hmm. Like, what does that communicate to someone who was vulnerable, who had a concern, who viewed this as a real need? And then what a great example of our community that we can take something that, maybe isn't intuitive right away, but then obviously once you dig just below the surface, you're like, this is a huge need.
Yeah.
And we can use our network to help in this specific situation. So I think that's great. And what a great way to encourage our students to continue to be open, especially about their concerns here at school.
Absolutely. The second actually stemmed from our history department. Our history department, specifically Ty Smith and Patty Moncada, were approached by an organization that would allow our rising seniors during summer to go off to France for an experience to learn about World War II and the Battle of Normandy and all sorts of things. And while this person who approached them was going to pay for a significant portion of this trip for 2 chaperones and 10 rising seniors, it was still a heavy lift for us. I often hear from our students, from our faculty, that they haven't left the state of Colorado. A lot of times they haven't really left the general Denver metro area. And so, again, one of those things that came to me, if we had this opportunity to send 10 kids who would probably never have that option to go to walk the beaches of Normandy with their classmates, like, how incredibly special is that? And to tie together their academics with real life, like, that's experiential learning. That's important. Mm-hmm. And so I knew that was something that my team needed to go out and say, okay, we got to find someone who's willing to kind of step up for this. Again, found a donor who was interested in it, had a tie to World War II from their own family, had told us they had a little bit of extra dollars to give that year. Again, they are funding that trip in perpetuity. So that will continue to go. And what a great staple for our kids to look up to. And just all around, I mean, I want to go.
Yeah, and a tradition that we're hopefully starting here.
Yeah, exactly.
Provide those opportunities for our students.
Exactly, yeah.
And I think, at other schools in a different kind of context, you might just rely on families to pay for mm-hmm. a trip like that. Or if a kid needs to do fundraising, they'll do it on their own within their neighborhood or their church or something like that. But just recognizing the context of our students and their families, that would be nearly impossible. Just to be able to say, okay, there's an advocate, there's a group of advocates here in the school that are willing to work for you to try to get you some of these opportunities that otherwise you would miss out on. I think that's huge. I think that's so good for our students to know that the school is more than just about like, okay, we're going to check all the boxes so that you get good grades, but creating these real experiences.
Yeah. And I think good for our donors to know too, right? There are options out there. If you do have a affinity for, sending students to do things like that, or, during the Christmas season, we'll ask for donations into our student need fund. And that's something that our mental health counselors are able to dive into. If a student needs a little extra help in finding clothes that fit them that particular year, or a family who just needs a little bit extra help paying the electric bill for that month. So it's really good for donors, I think, to hear there are these other opportunities to give here that really do directly impact those kids. Oftentimes in philanthropy, and not calling any charity out, but oftentimes you'll give to a charity, you don't exactly know where the dollars are going, right? And that's maybe by design, and the donors probably know that. Here, very, very obvious where the dollars are going. Mm-hmm. I've worked for many different organizations and I know about a lot of different organizations. We are truly a dollar in, dollar out, year over year institution. And so I think for donors to know their dollars are going so far, because they are going specifically to the school, to the students, to the families, and then what they're able to turn around those kids and families and what they do with the help that our donors provide is It's pretty impactful. That's why I love my job.
Well, it's so clear that you love your job, and it's also so clear that you're doing a really good job. There are so many balls that you're juggling. And the stories that you shared with me today and Louis and I today, I didn't know all of them. So thank you so much. Yeah.
I have plenty of them. I can keep going. How long do you guys have?
Louis?
Got a meeting coming up.
So. A haircut? I love it. But just thank you. Thank you for being authentic. Thank you for showing up. You shouted out a few other individuals in the building that have already been brought on the podcast. So it's so fun to close that loop and tie this all together. But thank you for being here and joining us on the podcast.
You're welcome. Yeah, I think that's a huge thing about Arupe. It really is a giant community, and it's not just maybe for a show here on the podcast. No, it really is what we do here. If I may, I'm going to do one last shout out just because I wouldn't be doing my job as a director of philanthropy if I didn't. We are in the midst of a $46.5 million capital campaign. Three main goals, but the main thing is growing our student body to 500. We really want to take our mission, our program, and give it to more students and families who are looking to come to Arupe. So for all of you listening, if you're interested in learning more, go to www.leadthewaycampaign.com. Because, again, I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't advocate for that.
This is like a telethon. Just call now. Call now. 1-800-ARRUPE.
And give your money today.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
We are so pleased to have one of our all-star juniors with us, Dennis. And Dennis, I just want to start off with, so you are a creative genius and you're involved in a lot of things. Why don't you tell us about some of that?
I like doing a lot of stuff, you know, helping out at school and stuff. But I also like to get a lot involved with like music and stuff. So that's like one of the biggest things I'm trying to go for right now.
What's are you in a band? Do you have a group that you play with?
We have like un grupecito. It's like a small group. It's three of us. Agustin, one of the classmates here, he's my bassist, and we play for like church events or like little gigs for like birthday parties, quinceañeras, and all that. And we've been doing good with that. We started since freshman year.
How cool. Well, I have certainly seen you around at different events, and I believe you guys were at Magis Night this past year. Yeah. So it was really awesome having you guys there. And I really like how you've integrated your music into Arupe. Is there anything you wish Arupe would have provided you so that you could have dug into your music a little bit more or explored your creative genius in a deeper, more profound way?
I really wish there was like a music class or like, you know, people that actually like really know music, because like I feel like I'm like self-taught, so everything I learn is off of YouTube, but I really always wanted to learn from like someone who's like studied and knows all like theory and stuff. But overall, it's like I feel like everyone that play here is they're all self-taught, which is something cool, but I always wish like there was like a little like someone that could teach it or like, you know, show something
a little bit more structure.
Yeah.
Do you think that music for you is a kind of outlet? Like, do you just go into your room and like play guitar or something like that?
Yeah, I feel like that's one of the cool things about playing guitar. It's just like whenever, like, it's like therapy. Like anytime like you need that time to yourself, or you're like, you know, it's like a time for like, you know, people that like to meditate and like being in silence. It's like the same feeling, but like you can like express your feeling through music, like sounds and stuff, and like it's really nice.
Do you have a favorite song or type of music that you like to play?
I like to play a lot of like happy music and like dancing music. I know a lot of people here like playing corridos and like all this like hard music, but I like playing more alegre, like happy music, like upbeat music, norteños, you know, corridos viejos de los que como Carlos y José type stuff. So that's the kind of music I like playing, but I also like playing some like calmer songs, like little sad songs, like when I'm alone.
to get that's, in your feels.
I mean, yeah, but it's also because, like, I like the chords. Like, they're they're harder to play than, like, any, like, normal song. And it's just, like, it just flows.
Oh, very interesting.
Well, I think that's great. And I thank you for coming on and sharing your love for music and creativity. And I think, I hope that you'll continue to play here for different events at the school, just so we can continue to spread that message that, you know, we're not just about work, we're not just about academics, but we're hopefully about the whole person, including the arts, including creative outlets.
Yeah, thank you.
Before we go, we'd like to express our gratitude to the students, staff, alumni, corporate sponsors, and donors who make Arupe Jesuit such a special place.
And a big thank you to our listeners. You're the reason we do what we do, and we appreciate your support.
If you want to stay connected with us and continue the conversation, be sure to follow us on social media. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook at Arupe Jesuit and on arupejesuit.com.
Don't forget to subscribe. And if you have any questions, suggestions, or want to share your own stories from Arupe Jesuit, please email us at podcast@arupemail.org. We love hearing from our community.
And remember,
read your books,
say your prayers,
take care of your friends.
See you next time on
the Arupe Jesuit Podcast.